Boys, I reckon it's safe to say we have seen the last pre-finals post-season bye.
Absolutely.
Isn't it just
momentum
shit house?
Killer.
Hasn't been well received, has it?
No, and especially we've just come off a period where we had footy frenzy,
exactly.
Footy frenzy 2.0, where we just had footy every single night, and now we've just had nothing.
It flies in the face of what the issue's been all about.
Yeah.
Let's just get it done, and the finals are going to be great, don't get me wrong. Great final series, but no, momentum killer.
The only positive is that it can get good players up. Like, obviously, we wouldn't have Aaron Norton playing if we played last week. He's selected to play for the Bulldogs, hopefully. But
probably
that
not.
Is the only positive.
The other thing about it is if you're a team that wins your qualifying final, the top four team, and go through to the prelim, you play one game in like 28 days by the time you play again. So it doesn't help.
A big thank you to our sponsors at TaylorMade. Now, I was in contact with TaylorMade during the week because just making sure that we're going to finally get our clubs. Clubs haven't arrived yet, but they will be by the time we're in there.
Oh, we're in a pandemic, huh? They'll be right.
Correct. And they're very excited to hear that the show is going to Rich O'Brany and Hummer, the summer edition, where we will talk to a lot of golf. So they're getting a bit more bang for their
and
buck.
Cricket,
everything. So
don't talk too much golf now. I want to touch on something later.
Okay, but probably before we get to that, very, very sad news for any sport fan, anyone really that follows the news, that Dean Jones had a heart attack over. He was working at the IPL over there. He had a heart attack, passed away. Very sad news.
Well, as a Victorian, Brownie, you would have loved Dino.
Loved Dino.
We all did.
He was my idol. I mean, obviously I grew up loving football, but cricket was a great love of mine. And when you played cricket in the backyard, there was only one man you were. You were Dean Jones. When you batted, you were at the crease, you were Dean Jones. If you were bowling, you were Shane Warne. It was pretty simple. You were Dino or you were Warney, two great players. And he was just such an excitement machine before there was that type of cricket. I mean, we see so many players now playing T20, but he was the man that started all that. And I still remember watching his video, Dino, and just the way he was talking about his innings when he made 145 at the Gabba. And he was saying, you know, I was pulling him over here, I was cutting him over there, Phil De Freitas back over his head, I was hitting him one-handed, he goes, I was on fire. And that's what I loved about Dino.
That was his thing. He had so much swagger, so much confidence out at the crease. But he was like that, you know, off the cricket pitch as well. He was just such a confident guy and you couldn't help but be drawn to him. He had a lot of charisma and confidence. And Nate, you played in this. We had a golf day down at Moona Links after we finished playing at Richmond. It was a Richmond players' golf day. So all the current players were there, like Jack Rewalt and Martin and Cochin. We were lucky enough to get a berth. And we were in Dino's group.
Jack was being a smart aleck.
He was.
Is he a good golfer?
Very good. Scratch golfer.
Listen to this story and you'll figure it out.
I'll tell you how good a golfer he was. So we were one of the last groups through. We get to the 18th tee at Moona. A lot of the other groups had finished, put their cards in, and all the lads are sitting around watching the last few groups tee off. So we come through, myself and Nathan, scratch one halfway down the fairway, pretty ordinary. Dino gets up last and he's the last person to hit off at the 18th. He got all the current Richmond playing group there and a few sponsors watching. So Dino gets up and he goes, where do you want me to put this one, boys? And, you know, me and Brownie, let's put it down the middle like you've been doing all day, Dino. So he gets up. He's about to tee off, right-handed golfer. And he goes, you know what, boys? And he looked around at all the Richmond boys on the hill. He goes, I might hit this left-handed. So we're thinking, all right, he's going to ask someone for a left-handed driver. No, Hummer, and you'll get this as a golfer. He gets the right-handed driver, turns it over, the skinny side, hits it straight down the middle left-handed, 250-plus metres.
You have a surface area of a bee's proverbial.
I know. Mate, he nailed it, and I just thought, that sums up the confidence of Dean Jones. No one would do that because if it falls flat in front of all
everybody the laughs, but he pulled it off.
Pulled it off, Dino.
No, very sad to see that. I was just outside the sort of the age where it was at the tail end of the career, but they just say, everyone says if IPL was around or 2021 when he was playing,
he'd like to get to the bottom of why he didn't play more for Australia. Like
there was a bit of politics going on.
Sri Lankan tour where he was the he averaged the most out of anyway. He had scored 100 and then he came back and he was out of the side. It was baffling back then. I can still remember asking my old man, I reckon I was 13 or 14, why isn't Dino playing? And nobody could give you an answer. Yeah.
The other one, he's famous 210 at Madras.
Oh.
Where he was dehydrated, he was nearly vomiting.
You
hear him talk about that innings at a sports night and he actually starts off, he starts going through every ball. You know, the first one I just nudged out through mid-wicket, the second one through cover. It's pretty funny stuff.
North Melbourne, the sackings continue. We saw yesterday that they got rid of Jade Rawlings, one of their assistant coaches there.
The funny thing about that is that his brother would have had to have sacked him. So Brady Rawlings is above him. He's the football...
Head of football.
So probably would have had to have delivered the news to his brother Jade, which I reckon makes it a little bit tough at Christmas. I reckon Brady's hoping that the pandemic just lasts that little bit longer so we can't have people at our house for Christmas. Yeah,
right. He's still got 2 years on a contract, so at least he'll get paid out, Jade. But have you ever seen a club cull this many people at the end of a season, Brownie? 11 players and they're shopping Sean Higgins and Ben Brown.
Strange too, Jade Rawlings to have 2 years to run on a contract and they get him out. They are completely sweeping, and they probably should have done it a couple of years ago with a lot of their players, but they've finally done it. This is a complete rebuild, but the Rawlings one was a surprise.
So do you agree with shopping Ben Brown around?
I rate Ben Brown. Any player that can kick 60 goals three years in a row, I rate him. I don't think he's going to get the service he needs at North Melbourne next year, so I think for himself as a footballer, I think he offers so much to another football club, and any club would want a Ben Brown to kick 50 or 60. Collingwood would be a perfect home for him. Melbourne are screaming out for somebody to be able to lead up and mark a ball. Well, Wiedemann's a good player, but I don't think he is the answer. Yeah. And obviously Brisbane are screaming out too. But imagine Pendlebury, DeGowie running through the midfield, side bottom, kicking to a Ben Brown leading up at them and having Mason Cox as a fullback with a long out.
Yeah, I'm hearing that Collingwood are right into him, so I think he's a good fit as well. But I don't get it if you're North Melbourne. He kicked 60 goals 3 years in a row, as you said.
Hard to do.
And this year, I give him a mulligan this year because he had a crook knee. They go up to Queensland. Their style of footy was horrible. And I just think Ben Brown would come back next year when they're playing at Marvel, where it's always dry. And I think he goes back to being a 50.
And any time one of their midfielders got the footy this year and kicked the ball inside forward 50, they took their boot off and they put a butcher's cleaver on it, first of all, and they just sliced it through, Matt.
I had a butcher's cleaver for a foot.
Yeah, I haven't done my due diligence on this topic. That's a shock.
Surprise.
Was there some talk that he was offered a big contract and his manager, Adam Ramanauskas, said no?
Well, at that stage, you'd imagine that his currency was high. That was at the start of the year. It was 750 to 800 a year. But there was no reason to sign back then, Matthew. Yeah. We didn't know what was going to happen. And hindsight's a wonderful thing. Yes, you would have signed for that, but then he's locked into North Melbourne for the next 3 years. So maybe waiting has been – he's going to take less than 750. He's probably around the 5 to 6 maybe, but it's still bloody good money.
I don't mind the fact that you back yourself in to have a good year. It didn't work this time, but in other occasions it has worked for players. Look at Dustin Martin. He waited till right on the eve of the final series in 2017. I don't mind backing yourself in. It just didn't work.
And North finished the year well last year. You've got to remember that. They finished the year well.
He is stiff, though.
300. Very so stiff. He's just shaved 300K off a year. Now, that is only an investment you could make.
Oh, no. It's 750, maybe back to 550. But still, it's still good money, Hummer.
That's the worst decision, the Laguna.
Laguna will come good.
That was good by Hummer.
Laguna will come good. I think that just for men's going into your brain.
Heath Shaw is the remarkable career. Is it finished? Perhaps, well, we don't know. He's no longer at GWS. No farewell game.
Yeah, I don't see that. You can't blame GWS. They're probably looking at their list. We didn't play finals. You know, we've probably got to get some younger guys into the team. So he's had a great career, Heath Shaw. If it's over, you know, he can look back and say he's won a premiership and played over 300 games.
Do you think he should go on?
His body was suggesting that he can still play on. So if a club thinks that they can get another year out of him, I don't see
how old
not.
Is he?
34.
All I would say is you can hit the wall in the space of 2 or 3 weeks when you're 34.
How old were you when you boys?
34.
And was your body just knackered? Yeah, cooked. Like you just knew you were getting
cooked.
Out of
it. You know when you're cooked. I don't think he's cooked physically.
Well, if he didn't get a farewell game, will he have 310 kids follow him? Just because have a look at this photo we've got up on screen.
Have a look at you.
Where'd you get that from?
You're a bit darker on
look
top
at it.
Back
if
then.
You are listening, we have on the screen a picture of Richo. Of course, we spoke last week that Richo, despite having an issue with people getting chaired off before
he's happy to have all the kids out there.
Games, he has done a walking lap of the MCG the day after with 285 kids with Richo on their back.
Can I, which camera are we looking at? Straight ahead there. Can I officially apologise to all players that have been chaired off in recent times, because clearly that is a lot worse what I did. So I apologise to all people that have been chaired off. I love people being chaired off. There's nothing wrong with that. That is embarrassing what I did. 282 kids.
Just fantastic. Now,
when they said that to you, they come to you with that idea. It might have been Big Benny Gale or was Jude Donnelly there back then?
Probably.
Would they come to you and said, Matthew, you didn't get chaired off, but, you know, yeah, it's a fantastic career. You played 282 games, kicked 800 goals. You know, you didn't get the, you know, the send-off in your last game because you've been injured. How about we get 282 kids to come out in the oval with you? And you said, yeah, it's a good idea.
No, what I said was, I don't think it's a good idea. I think this could fall flat. And I was worried about mates that were going to be texting me. But because of the ultimate clubman that I was, I wanted to do whatever the club wanted.
And there was nothing in it for you? You didn't get any sort of kickback?
I didn't get anything, Nathan. It was just...
You didn't get any sort of kickback from your retirement?
It might have been a testimony.
Okay. Did you give the kids anything? Did you speak to the kids?
I gave them a T-shirt with my number on it.
I went to the testimonial. It was a good night.
Yesterday, of course, there was a very, very, very big election, perhaps the biggest election in the world coming up in November, the Wednesday after Cup Day. And leading into the US election, they go through a number of debates. They have three debates. We had the first one yesterday, and it was shambolic.
You know,
that's putting it nicely.
It was like a couple of primary school kids just abusing each other in the schoolyard. That was pathetic. Are these the people that are going to lead?
Remarkable
that
out of
one of the biggest economies in the world, one of the, you know, meant to be the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, and that's what we get. Siri, surely there's better leaders out there that want to be the president.
There have to be. They've got a pool of 300 million to choose from, and they've got those two. But, Brownie, it did catch your attention.
I reckon he had the Shane Burse orange rinse yesterday, too. He went deep orange yesterday.
Real orange yesterday.
Did bring, reminded you of perhaps something similar that happened at the Tigers back when you were
there. Well, it did. Well, back in 2007, so the end of the 2007 season came around, and we're going into 2008, or I think it was 2008, and Kane Johnson wasn't going to be the captain anymore. Plowers the coach, and Plowers of the opinion that we're going to have some sort of presidential race for the captaincy, which was extraordinary. I think he'd already picked out who the captain was going to be, and eventually Chris Newman became the captain. But he had me, Richo, Joel Bowden, and Chris Newman put together a campaign to be captain in the 8 weeks leading up to Christmas.
What was his idea? Like make little posters and stuff?
Well, we just had to show to the rest of the lads in the club why we would... It was like the campaign trail.
So what would you do? Would you give presentations?
You had to get up and give presentations about what you thought you could offer the group and why you'd be the best captain.
I actually employed our boss here at Sportsbet, Adam Patterson. I actually employed him as my intern for the campaign.
He was helping your campaign.
He was my intern, Patterson.
And then we all four of us had to sit through leading teams. So we'd obviously sit there and take feedback. And some of the feedback wasn't, because it's anonymous, some of the feedback wasn't overly great. But I think I was vice captain at the time. Deputy vice captain.
Deputy vice captain.
So we had to get up and do these whole things. And I thought, well, I needed a slogan to go, because it was just after Kevin 07.
Yep.
Just after Kevin 07.
Oh,
so
no.
In one of the very first presentations I gave, I got up and said, I'd like to welcome you to NATO 8.
Oh, yeah, NATO 8. He followed Kevin Rudd, Kevin 07, NATO.
I reckon Plough had already chosen his captain. He already knew Chris Newman. He just wanted some sort of rigmarole.
It was a bit of fun.
What type of work did you get old Adam Patterson to do?
Oh, just run around the club being my lackey, handing out, you know, leaflets and chanting my slogan. I actually dropped out of the race halfway along. I was 34 years of age and I was showing signs of mental
decline.
A bit like Joe Biden.
It's a long way to go from deputy vice captain to captain as well. You got a few
deputy
to
vice.
What the hell would you even do as deputy vice captain?
How stupid is that? A couple of vice captains I get, but deputy vice.
All right, Richo, what's doing your head in this week?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
You know what, Hum? You're a golfer and you've been really upset, and I guess the biggest...
Mum's upset.
The biggest supporter of this has been Sam Newman over this whole COVID thing, and I haven't really cared because I like playing golf and I can't wait to get the new golf clubs, but it hasn't worried me that much because I generally only play in summer and I play two or three times, so it's not a big deal for me. But I was standing out the back of my place in All Nations Park in Northcote on Sunday, and I'm looking around, and I swear the area of All Nations Park would be about the same as maybe three fairways side to side, three par fours. And I'm looking around and I reckon there were over 500 people in the park with their dogs, a few people sitting on picnic rugs. And I thought, Why can't people go out and play golf? If you can sit around in a park with 500 other people, yet you could have three fairways, which would constitute six people. Is that right?
Yep.
Two people on each fairway?
Yep, a couple on the tee.
So you can have 500 people in a park, but you can't have two people on each fairway of a golf course. So to me now, it doesn't make sense. And then the argument coming back is, oh, we can't control what happens in the clubhouse, you know, after the game. Well, I reckon golf clubs are some of the strictest.
Because we had it before. When we came back from lockdown one, you weren't allowed to go in the clubhouse. And you're only in groups of two.
And golf clubs are followers of protocol normally.
That's right. You can't wear a hat inside. You can't wear a hat.
It's like the serviceman's club.
Yeah. So
I don't know what that is.
But it beggars belief now why you can't play golf or tennis.
What do you mean?
What's a serviceman's club?
Anyway.
Why
can't you play tennis? That is the RSL, Servants Club. I used to play tennis with Julian Valance, who's obviously the head racing trainer.
You seem to mention that a lot.
Yeah, like, he's a good man. He's a good man. He doesn't like you, but he likes me.
Why do you need to mention it's always against Julian Valance?
But we play tennis, right? Yeah. And we are. There's 18 metres between us end to end.
Is it because you both touch the tennis ball?
I hadn't thought about that. What's doing my head in is
it's ridiculous now that you can't play golf.
Coronavirus tennis ball.
It is.
Just laden with virus.
I'm not a medical expert, but
I
surely you
it that
can
hard
do
that it knock the coronavirus off it when it goes down there.
The issue we have is that we're using common sense and it's just not the right thing. Don't use common sense in these examples.
We're not allowed to bag anyone.
No, we're not. You know, I'm going to jump in here because, you know, there's something that's doing my head in. I'm sorry to piggyback this off.
This is my segment, though.
Yeah, the AFL announced Mike Brady was coming back and he was going to sing from the MCG.
And that's
this
a
year,
great
being
thing.
Directed to Brisbane. It is a fantastic thing. Now, this is the cesspool that Twitter is, and I'm getting so close to deleting it. It's an abhorrent place. There's a 5% of the audience is good. The rest of them are just really starting to grind my gears.
Yeah.
They make this announcement, and rather than everyone saying this is great, you know, it's
a bit of tradition.
It's a bit of tradition that's being kept. They all start, and 95% of the people start piling into the AFL, going, "What? It's not 1985 again, the AFL, or this again." If you have sat at the MCG on Grand Final day, in fact, you don't even need to have sat there. If you have watched a telecast of Mike Brady singing up there Kazali in front of 100,000 people at the MCG,
it's good.
It is spine tingling. You cannot sit there; your hairs raise off your arm. You almost well up. Like, it is just one of the most magnificent traditions in a time when we are losing traditions, in a time we've had such a crummy year, for people to get into the AFL and say it's a poor decision, it has just grinded my gears.
Yeah, I don't get it.
If I didn't have a Twitter ban, I'd be ripping into them.
It's like saying you wouldn't have the Rolling Stones or a tribute band. Mike Brady's a legend, and why wouldn't you have him? No, I agree with you.
It's made me very, very angry. Have we got the lifestyle? Yeah, we do. Lifestyle awards section there. I didn't read our run sheet properly. Now, we've had a couple of weeks off the lifestyle. Next week, we've got a big topic because we're having a topic off air. What was it? I forgot what it was.
We'll talk about it later. We won't give it away.
But you had an idea this week about the best entrances in sport because you're a big wrestling man.
Well, Nathan gave us the idea.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, that's rare. Forgive me.
No, I was watching the UFC.
He has no homework.
I was watching the UFC the other day, and I just love the entrances, and I love the theatre of it. I love the music that comes with it. So I was thinking, you know, is there a song that we would, if we were boxing or we were ending any sort of arena, is there a song that you'd like? I mean, some of the best entrances of all time, I still think, even without music, Michael Jordan's entrance when it goes all dark and they just spotlight him and they go from North Carolina when he comes in. That, I still think that is the best entrance in world sport anywhere, but I do love the UFC.
That is gold. And the Michael Jordan, thanks for reminding me about that that's brilliant. But when I think of entrances, sporting entrances, I think of the WWF, WWE. I was a massive fan, Hummer, back in the 80s and 90s, and I still watch it now occasionally if my wife
lets me. That's a bit weird.
No, it's good fun. There's nothing wrong with it. A couple of my favourite entrances were the great Ric Flair. He had just the real theatrical music. He wore the big gowns, you know, the draping gowns with, you know, the sequences on them. He'd come out, he'd do the twirl in the middle of the ring and he'd strut around. Yeah, I loved Ric Flair. What about The Undertaker? Remember The Undertaker? The bell's ringing. The bell's ringing, then the morbid music.
Yeah.
It's pitch black. He gets down to the centre of the ring, then the spotlight comes on.
Yeah, he's there.
And he's got the hat down. He brings it up and he's got the eyes that just pierce through you. The Macho Man, Randy Savage, he had the real regal music. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Remember that?
Just the glass smashing.
It's like he's in a pub and he's just smashed a window. Then he comes out with the cans of beer and the attitude and then gets to each corner of the ring and then gives everyone the bird. Stone Cold was great, but the best entrance I've ever seen at any sporting event, and I include, you know, Super Bowls, I include the Chicago Bulls, get on YouTube and Google, get on there and look at Triple H with Motorhead live coming into WrestleMania.
Really?
It is the best entrance I've ever seen in sports. So have a look at that on YouTube.
Triple H, you're up. We'll have a look at that one.
With Motorhead.
How good was it? Because The Rock retired from wrestling to pursue his acting career with Disney. But then remember he came back a couple of times.
He still comes back.
Things, and like no one's expecting it and he just gets, can you smell what The Rock is cooking and you just go, whoa.
Did you see how big The Rock is the other day?
Oh.
He was sort
when
of,
he turned 50.
He was announcing
50.
Massive.
I think he was talking about Trump and Biden as well.
Mm.
Mate, he is as big as any man I've ever seen.
Have you seen what he eats? How much he has to eat?
He must be pushing a lot of steel around.
When he's cheat day, I think he has 30 pancakes for his breakfast.
He's big.
He's Trump and Ward next.
We're doing the trumpet.
We are doing the trumpet, even though we had no footy, so sorry to spring this on you. I've made some notes for you that will be in your notebook, right, so you can just recite mine. But we are doing the trumpet award, and it is getting hot at the top end of the things, at the for the top end of town.
The boats, they're cool.
Yeah. Lockie Neal on 15, Tom Hawkins on 10, Travis Boak 9, Sam Menegola 9.
So we can't, we won't vote for any of these players.
Well, we'll have them
play. Unless they did something special during the week.
So which they haven't.
We're going off-piste this week.
Okay, I'm going to go one vote. These are the bad votes, or are we doing the good votes first? We'll do the good votes.
Do the good ones. Why would you?
I'm going to give one vote to Mitch Robinson because I like somebody who speaks his mind. And Mitch Robinson was playing X-Ball. He's a
big gamer.
And questions were coming in as to who he likes, and because he had a few things to say about Tom Lynch not that long ago. And it's added a bit of spice to this round because obviously they play this weekend. But the question came in, do I like Tom Lynch? And he's just playing away. He goes, no, he's a wanker.
Well, he did it again, doubled down.
I loved it. So I don't mind that. I like Tom Lynch as well. I gave two votes to us as a company. Because even though we paid out on an election where we lost, we paid out incorrectly, an early pag, as we thought that was your idea. You cost the company about $9 million. We paid out on the LA Lakers, who are kicking off today against the Miami Heat. Any bet you have had, we have paid out the LA Lakers.
We haven't played one game yet.
As a winner, the championship.
Yeah.
So,
are you serious?
Good on us.
That's what we do.
Miami, they've got a little chance, haven't they?
Definitely.
The last time he had an idea to pay out on the election.
So Miami will win. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. And I gave three votes to a man we've already spoken about on this program today, but Julian Valance, who is our racing trader.
It's remarkable.
He's in love with Jules.
Just for the listeners at home, there's listeners that probably don't know who Jules Valance is. Jules Valance is he was a racing trader, now does our racing.
He's a brand ambassador.
Brand ambassador. He's the Brownie equivalent. For racing. And Brownie just for some reason has just latched onto it.
Last week, his best of the day was Order of the Garter, which won well, brilliant. He said back it before this one for the Caulfield Cup as well. So Order of the Garter. And then last week, he said instant celebrity and he goes June Appel in the last. I mean, this is just extraordinary punting, extraordinary times, Matthew. Yeah. And you've been on the receiving end of them.
No, I don't bet.
No, you don't.
No.
Here's a question. If you were to get married today, would Julian
Valance
be in your bridal party?
I'm already married.
No, but just say
Matthew was in my bridal party.
Say you were to have a wedding today.
Yep.
How far up the list would Jules Valance be?
Oh, jumped right up.
We'd get him in there.
I reckon if he's not in the bridal party, he's your MC.
Well, he'd be good entertainment as well. Jules
would be paying for Nate's wedding at the moment, the way Jules is going. Well, don't worry about that.
I did the new idea interview last time.
Don't you bag me for doing a walk around the MCG with 282 kids. He had new idea photos at his wedding. Embarrassing.
Self-wedding.
Everything is just an urn for you.
Okay.
It's an expensive lifestyle.
I'll be quickly because Nate's...
It isn't. You're pissing money away on the
One to Fox News' Chris Wallace, who was the mediator in the debate yesterday. Just if you, control your debaters, please. Joe Biden got two. He was terrible. And Donald Trump, seriously, if he gets re-elected, the world could come to an end. My best, I gave one to Alyssa Healy. She just broke the T20 world record.
Great knock.
Australia's great wicketkeeper. going to go NFL for my two. This man is completely unstoppable. You talk about goats in sport. When he retires, he'll be better than Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes from the Kansas City Chiefs. He is unstoppable, that guy. And a bit of AFL flavour. I'm just giving Gil McLaughlin three votes for getting this final series to where it is. Extraordinary effort.
Well, should I go through my worst now that he's taken over and done his?
Your best.
We have gone in a very, very strange
Well, I've done my best.
I'll do your worst.
I've done my worst.
Wait, so we've gone your best.
Well, he just took over.
Yeah, what the hell?
Okay, I've got Brad Crouch won. I mean, you've got a massive deal. You want to move footy clubs. I reckon you just need to be a little bit more careful with what you're doing outside of life. When that sort of thing happens, Matthew, it's a bit of a touchy subject, but Brad Crouch, got to be better than that. Got to be completely better than that and can't be doing that sort of thing. Joe Biden, two votes like you, and Donald Trump, three.
Oh, well, I don't think any of those will feature in our leaderboard, but it was good to do that nonetheless. Now, let's have a look, and let's have a deep look, because this is probably a part of the show that we skip over, but with finals footy on the horizon.
It's a footy podcast. It's a footy podcast,
so we might need to just dive into it a little bit more today. Port versus Geelong kicks off. Kicks off
tonight.
Obviously,
the Adelaide Oval.
Getting the odds up here. We spoke last week that I'm not very quick at getting these. $1.71 at Port Adelaide, the far better back side against the Cats. $2.15. Who are you having?
Yeah, look, I think Port can win, but only just. They've lost 11 of their last 13 v the Cats. Four of their last five. They lost against the Cats in round 12 at Metricon, but this is at the Adelaide Oval, and I just think they had a really off night. That night against the Cats. So strong through the midfield, big body. So I just think if they get it into their forward line first, you wouldn't think Charlie Dixon will play as poorly as he did last time. But I think one thing they've got to do, Nate, they've got to lower their eyes a little bit more and try and find some leading targets, whether it's Rosie or Robbie Gray or young Marshall on the lead. If they keep bombing it to Dixon like they did in round 12, they're in real trouble. But all of their numbers suggest they're going to be a good finals team. Good contested ball, good forward half, time in forward half. And once they get in there, they generally score. So I think it'll be super tight. But because they're at home at Adelaide, I'll go with the Crows, the Power, I think.
Yeah, I think the Cats are an amazing side. And I think their upside with their superstars is going to get them over the line here. I mean, Dangerfield, Ablett, Hawkins, these guys who can get the job done. And I worry that Port... How do they get Charlie Dixon the space when they didn't have the space last time? And I hear what you're saying about they need to spot up those targets. But their game plan is to get the footy, go hard, and then go along to Charlie Dixon. When he plays well, they normally win. But if they fold back like they did last time, two and three flying against him, I find it hard for them to kick a winning score. The luxury of having Dangerfield who can go from the midfield to forward and win the game like he did last week is massive. I think one of the biggest bets this weekend is Paddy Dangerfield, $7 to kick two or more goals. I think that's massive. I'm going to go for the Cats.
Do you think the Cats have got to play a bit quicker off their back half? At the Adelaide Oval, it's hard to get through if you go slow.
What I think they need to do is start the way they've always started, and that's their game plan. We saw they can go fast against the Tigers late. The game was gone by then, but I think Chris Scott needs to identify when to pull the trigger a bit quicker.
Now, I have no stats to back this up, but I reckon this would be a safe thing to say that this is the hardest week one of finals tip in history.
No, I agree.
Three of the games.
Actually,
give Collingwood an outside chance. So, second game, we're going to go with Richmond-Brisbane. And Richmond just outstanding. Every time they lose a player, another one comes in and does the job. They are the best team in the competition. Do they win the grand final because of that? I don't know yet. I tip them. I think they can, but they're the best team. Now, Brisbane are going to sit there and think, how do we change what we've done against Richmond? We play a certain way. Can we change? Does Charlie Cameron need to kick four or five? There's so many variables that have to go right for Brisbane, whereas Richmond don't have to have those variables go right. They just play the same game. They have to every week, week in, week out. Brisbane almost have to play out of their skins to beat Richmond, I think. And when you play out of your skin one or two times out of 10, very hard to do that at the drop of a hat tonight or tomorrow night when they play. So for me, the percentage play is Richmond win this game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Richmond's back seven with Asprey coming back last week is so rock solid. They've only conceded 30 points a game in the last month leading into finals. So they're going to be hard to score against. And you look at the Brisbane forward line and I go, who is going to kick the goals? Charlie Cameron has had not a poor second half of the year, but not as good as how he played in the first half of the year. Dylan Grimes probably gets...
I don't think he even played that well in the first half of the year.
Yeah, he hasn't had his best year, but he can have a good final and win them a game. He is a match winner when he gets going, but can he do it against Grimes? Tough ask. So you're probably looking then, you need to get goals out of Hipwood and McStay. I know their midfield will get enough ball in there.
Yep.
They just will. They're a good midfield, Brisbane, with Neil and Zorko and Lyons. But can they score enough?
I just can't rely on Eric Hipwood to get the job done.
They need Hipwood and McStay to perhaps combine for four or five goals. If they get that, then they're going to be right in it. But I just think Richmond's form suggests that they should win, even with Tom Lynch out.
Did you ever play footy with a bloke as skinny as Eric Hipwood? Did they exist back in your day?
Yeah, no, they did.
Geordie McMahon.
Kids, when they first come in, are skinny.
He's great. He's been in there a while, though, hasn't he?
Been 4 or 5 years now, yeah.
He needs to eat more.
It's simple. Just eat more.
Get him on your diet. What is it? Big Jack that you love at the
moment? Oh, geez, it's good. The Big Jack. I had one yesterday. It was my birthday, though, so it was a special treat. Next game, another coin toss. St Kilda, $2.05. The Bulldogs, $1.77. This one is very difficult.
Yeah, it is. This is the real flip of the coin game, this one. But I'm going with the Dogs. I just think their run home into the finals is a little bit like 2016. They've got great momentum. Their midfield is so deep. They've got so many players going through there that can get 25-plus disposals. It was McRae's turn last week. It might be Dunkley this week. You know what Libba's going to do. Young Bailey Smith, Bontempelli, really deep through the midfield. If they win the ball at the source through Libba and start getting that handball game going, I just think they'll have too much pace on the game for the Saints. I know the Saints like pace on the game, but I just think the Dogs' form is slightly better coming into the finals, really consistent. And I look at the Saints' forward line, Nate, and who's going to kick the goals? Because I don't think you can rely on the small forwards.
Butler and Loney. Yeah. So the Dogs and the Saints have very, very similar structures and similar... They go about it the same way. And I think when you look at a final and what's going to be the difference here? And you look at one side who bat deeper in the midfield. Like you said, there's so many players. You missed out on Lockie Hunter. Since he came back in, that midfield has just been balanced perfect. So when it's a 50-50 game like it is and you can't really pick a winner, games are won in the midfield. And I think the Dogs have got the better midfield. And that's why I'm going to tip the Dogs. The only way the Saints can win is if Marshall and Ryder dominate. Absolutely do a number on Tim English. They go forward and maybe kick three or four goals between them. Marshall's got the ability to do that. Paddy Ryder's kicked a goal, I think, in his last four games from memory. Don't hold me to that, but I think that could be right. So if those two players have a real day out, I think St Kilda are a chance, but I'm tipping the Dogs just because of how good they are in the midfield.
Collingwood a chance?
Slim. And I think their form, obviously, they've finished eighth for a reason because they've had the patchiest form. But you know what? Gee, they've been dealt some cards this year, the Pies injuries. And, you know, they've had to go to Perth and then back to Queensland. Now they've had to quarantine again in Perth and they've never winched. You've got to love their attitude. So I think they're taking a really good attitude into the game.
Good point you make.
Yeah,
haven't sooked about it. See clubs this year who have complained about travel, who have complained about being in lockdown or quarantine or having to go backwards and forwards, and they're the clubs that have really come up short.
Yeah.
I mean, West Coast did it at the start of the year. They complained about where they were and their form mirrored that, whereas Collingwood haven't heard a peep out of them since this was announced that they were going to go back in and go into quarantine. So give them an outside chance. I just think West Coast track record at home is going to be too good in the end.
Yeah, I just think, they've got players coming back in that haven't played though, West Coast, so they might be a little bit slow early. So if Collingwood have a good start, get in the game, get DeGoey up and going, slim chance, but Eagles at home, they're 6 from 6 there this year.
Plus 13.5 line though for Collingwood. I think it'll be close.
All right, now my favourite part of the show, the time where we just get to just peel the layers back into the minds of Matthew Richardson and Nathan Brown. Good stuff. This is a beer. A beer cushion. All right, I've got two this week.
Looks good today, huh?
It's your season's best, I reckon.
Yeah, well,
it's finals time.
Just shape you up. No, I have lost some weight. I'm running 10 kilometres 3 times a week now.
Good work. Well done.
Which is good. But you know when it's in trouble, because your partner's normally very kind and normally they'll let a few things go. But when your dial tells you just perhaps you don't need to. We're having rissoles, and I put it between two slices of white bread. And she said, perhaps you don't need the white bread. That's when you know
a rissole between white bread with some sauce.
So good.
You know a place that had the best rissoles? You would have been there, Nath. The best rissoles I've ever had, ever. And this is, I love rissoles.
Yep.
Was the Rose Hotel in
Fitzroy. Oh, yes.
They did the best rissoles of all
What
time.
Sauce do you have on?
Just normal Tommy? Gravy, mate. Gravy and a bit of tomato sauce. Yeah.
All right. The first one, you can either fight Mike Tyson for a full boxing fight, and even if you get knocked out, he'll just still punch you. So he'll...
Well, you can't do that.
I will. He'll just knock you out straight away. But, okay, you got to fight until you get knocked out.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't long.
Quick. Or you speak like Mike Tyson forever.
Oh, no, I speak like Mike forever. I don't want to be hit by Mike Tyson.
You might die.
Would you? Mate, you mightn't get up, mate.
Mm. It'd be the end of your career, though.
But it'd be good.
You couldn't be commentating footy.
Can I ask you? It'd
be good to say you fought Mike Tyson, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'll throw it back to you, Hummer. Who would last longer with Mike, me or Brownie?
Brownie would disintegrate.
Mate, I've seen you box.
Mate, I would
like... You are like a wet paper bag.
Mate,
those lips and that chin.
Why has he got to go to the lips? He might hit my lips and bounce off them, mate.
Yeah, he might.
Wait, Nath, our producer, actually suggested a hypothetical, and he said for just say, $200,000, but you're never allowed to make a joke about Richo's lips again. Would you do it?
If I could have $200,000.
Mate, he'd do anything for money.
Yeah.
Well, $200,000 is $200,000, mate. I can take the lips away.
I'd almost
talk about his skinny
lips. I did say that to him. I said, if there's money involved.
I'd almost give him the $200,000 because I'm starting to get a bit worried about my lips, mate. Like, stop getting into them.
Well, you don't think they're big?
Richo,
I'll tell you how big they are. No, I won't. I'll
take solace in the fact that there are girls across the globe spending millions of dollars on Botox injections to have lips that look like yours.
As I get older too, my face is, you know, as you get older, maybe your you face need to put, drops, but the lips just aren't moving.
All right, last one. All right, I give you a best bets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the start of a Saturday morning, I can't...
You're going to explain what the best bets is.
So best bets, for those that don't know racing, is it's essentially a footy record, but for racing. It's got every single race on a Saturday, metropolitan and country tracks. I give you a best bets.
Yep.
But this best bets has got every winner circled for the day.
Just the winners?
Just the winner.
Okay.
But I'll give you this, and you can make a lot of cash from it. You know every single winner across the country.
So it's like Back to the Future.
Exactly like that. Yeah. It's like a racing version of Back to the Future, but...
It's like having Julian Valance on your side.
That's his fourth mention today.
But you can't use any mode of transport for 10 years.
You said 3 years out
there. Yeah, but everyone said took the book, so I've
so you've
pressed
got,
it.
You've got every winner in the best bets.
Yep, on a Saturday.
But you can never drive a car, ride a bike, get on a plane.
Anywhere you want to go for 10 years, you're walking.
Well, mate, I won't have to work. If I want to go to Sydney, I'm happy just to stroll up there with a lot of coin in my pocket. Mm. So
with that amount of coin, you could invent a time machine or something like that.
No, it doesn't work that way. Well, you're not going to invent a time machine.
Nah, I'm happy
to. That's a ridiculous way to take these hypotheticals on. You are a moron. So
you get bored.
Like a transporter machine.
You wouldn't be able to do much.
And the Dahl has to drive the kids everywhere.
No, you know what?
You can't go on any family holidays.
You can't. Where can you go? You've got to walk everywhere. Your kids. No, I'm not taking the best bets.
Ooh.
I still want to get on a plane and do things and go places.
Mm. Brownie? It's a tough one.
All right, that will do us this week. Hey, footy's back. Enjoy the weekend. A big thank you to Taylor Made. We'll be down there soon. Please don't forget us, because Aaron actually hasn't replied to my last two emails, but I'll keep that.
It's shaky, is it?
Coming up. It's a bit shaky. Hey, good luck on the punt this weekend. Gamble responsibly.